I have a question that I'd like for us to start with this morning. What do we do with the difficult places that come into our life? And you know, if any of us could say, I don't have any difficult places, then I'd just have to say, keep on breathing, because it's going to come to every one of us. We're all going to have some difficult places come into our life. Job had difficult places come into his life. Lost his wealth, then he lost his health. And he had a verse I'd like for us to start with in Job 14 and 1 and 2. This is his assessment. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Remember how we look at over in James where it says, be careful about making plans for tomorrow or saying that, you know, for this next year, I'm going to go do these things, because we don't know what's on tomorrow. Our life is a vapor. It's here for just a little bit and then it's gone. This verse says something similar. He cometh forth like a flower is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow and continueth not. I've had some times I was outside on a real sunny day, and there be a big cloud though. And as the wind is blowing and that cloud passes between me and the sun, I mean, you have a big shade, maybe enough shade that it even changes the temperature and feels pretty good on a summer day. But you know what? It's moving on by. You can see it, but unless you can move at the same speed, it's going to soon be gone. Well, to think about our life, we can have some difficult things come into our life. And I'd like to start first with someone that it wasn't just Job that had trouble come in his life. It wasn't just people in the Bible that had trouble in their life. When Hebrews 12 and 1 talks about there's a great cloud of witnesses that we are encompassed about, you know, those are not just people in the Bible. They are other people, faithful people that had adversity and went through it in a good way for us to be able to follow. Here's an example. There was a man that said he was a very successful businessman, and he invested in real estate in Chicago. And he made that investment in the spring, and in the fall was the Great Fire of Chicago. Said it burned 17,000 structures before it was put out, and he lost much of his investment at that time. And he also had said within just a little short time, he had a son that died of pneumonia or something. Those are some tragic things that can come into a person's life. But it said that he, a couple years later, he told his wife and family, said, we need to go on a vacation. We need to get away for a little while. He was not able to go at the same time they did, so he sent them on first from Chicago on a trip to England. You know, it is so much different to travel to Europe now than it was back then. It still takes us 8 hours, 9 hours to fly there. But at that time, it was just on a ship. So he sent his wife and his daughters on this ship. When I had heard the story before, I just kind of thought those were adult daughters that were with her, with the mother. Well, when I got to reading this past week about this story, she had four daughters. They were 12 years old, 7, 4, and 18 months. And he is not able to go with them, so the mother is taking care of the four children as they travel across the ocean to England. And they collided with another ship. And it said their ship sank within 12 minutes. What do you do in difficult times? She had four children. One of them is 18 months old, to try to keep them alive. And all of them drowned. You know, God never promised that we will not have adversity. But he did promise that he would go through it with us. You know, she didn't have a cell phone that she could call back to her husband and tell him what happened. It was after the mother had been rescued and taken ashore somewhere that she could send a little telegram. So he heads toward her, which is going to take a long time to get there. And you know what we have that never goes away from us? It's our ability to think. And he had a lots of time to think. You know, there's a scripture that says, lest any root of bitterness spring up and trouble you. You know, he had an opportunity for that. She had an opportunity for that. Remember the verse that says, all things work together for good? She said, she made a statement. She said, I don't really see it in it right now, but said I will be able to see it. Well, it says, we know the story. When he was heading toward her on a ship himself, they told him when he passed the area where it had sunk. What would be my reactions? What do I have to say to God when that kind of thing has happened? Here's his reaction. He penned a poem that we all sing today. When peace like a river attendeth my way. Oh, I love it when everything is going real well. I don't have any problems. Life is doing me well. Well, he didn't stop with his poem there. Peace like a river attendeth my way when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and he has shed his own blood for my soul. To be able to say at that time, he didn't say it's well with me emotionally, all these other things, but what he said was, it's well with my soul. He might have still been needing the Lord to stand by him and encourage him, but it was well with his soul. What did Job say when all of his things were taken? He said he fell down and he worshiped God. I believe that's what happened with this man was difficulty had come to him, but yet he still worshiped God. It's well with my soul. So today, I think about for us, we're going to each one have some difficult times come. What are we going to do with it? There's a song that has come to my mind recently. I still trust you. You know, that song means I've had some difficulties in my life, but I've made a choice. I'm going to keep on having my trust in God. Here's part of that song. I've seen the righteous suffer pain, and it looked like the wicked would go free. You ever had that thought want to cross through your mind? Seemed like there's a lot of trouble coming to me, and it seemed like the world is escaping a whole lot of that trouble. And it says, and in my frustration, it just didn't seem right to me. And when I read that, I thought about over in Psalms. Because you know what, that thought, whoever wrote that song, that thought has passed through other people's minds. And it's something that we will have to deal with sometime too. Psalm 73 starts out good. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. When you read that 73rd chapter, why was it that he was about to slip? It wasn't because he had a desire to go back out in the world, I want to live for the devil. No, it was, I'm living a righteous life, but look at all these things that are happening to me. And I lost my focus. I started looking at, I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, there's no bands in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. And all these things kept on crossing through his mind. Because you know, it's something that each one of us have to deal with, are the thoughts that come to us when we're in the middle of trouble. This chapter, he dealt with it. 14th verse, he said, all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. You know, if we stay in those kind of places where we're questioning what God is allowing, we can get ourselves into trouble. I'm glad that chapter did not end there. But it says, that song says, I asked you for sunshine. Don't we all do it? Every morning we ask the Lord to bless our lives today. What I'm meaning by that is I'd like some good things to come into my life today. I asked you for sunshine, you sent a rain. I cried for healing, but I only got pain. But you know, I'm glad that song didn't end there either. This 73rd chapter says, until I went into the sanctuary, then I understood their end. And this song says, I know that your love will see me through. Lord, I still trust you. I have made up a decision. It does not matter what comes. My trust is going to be in the Lord. I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you that you're able to guide me through this cold, barren land. And when I don't know which way to turn or go, I still trust you, Lord. So let me hold to your hand. The other verse said, I trust you because you've been so faithful to me. And you said in your word, I'll never leave nor forsake thee. Lord, I'll go with you until the end. Your blood has cleansed me from all guilt and sin. And your promise I can hold on to. Lord, I love trusting you. Amen. Because in trusting him, only good things come into my life? No. A confidence that he will go through with me in those troubles. Luke 18:8 has a question for us. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? You know, Job was tested. It tells us when we start out in the first chapter of Job that he was a perfect and an upright man. And you know what? That was not just in his own opinion. That's not what he was saying about himself. That's what God was saying about him. And you remember, God had such a confidence in Job that he even spoke to Satan in the 8th verse of the first chapter of Job. Have you considered my servant Job? You know, that is quite a testimony from God. You know, we talk about how we need to have a confidence in God. You know what? God needs to have a confidence in me. And that is, that confidence that he has in me is also built for me making a choice. God, I'll trust you with the adversities that come into my life. You know, when God said to Satan, you can touch the things that he has. But you know, he also put parameters on how far Satan could go. I am very encouraged by that. God can allow some things to come into our life, but he still controls the burner. Remember at that time he said, you can touch the things he owns, but you cannot touch his body. Well, when Job fell down and worshiped God in the first chapter of Job, he said, I didn't have anything when I came. I don't have anything when I leave. The Lord gave it. The Lord hath taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a good example for us when we lose material things to adversity. But you know, he still had his health. And Satan looked at that, and when they had the next meeting with God, he said, skin for skin in the second chapter, all that a man has, he'll give it for his life. You touch his body, and he will curse you to your face. And God said, you can now touch his body, but you cannot take his life. Again, there was a wall put up. You know, Satan understood there was a wall at the beginning. You remember when God told Satan in the first chapter, have you considered Job? Did Satan say, I don't know who Job is. Can you clue me in on who he is? No, he had already been watching Job. He said, well, you've built a hedge around him. No wonder he's living for you. You built a hedge around him and nothing can touch him. Folks, that gives me a confidence that God is in control of everything that comes into our life. We must maintain that confidence. Think of the verse that says, cast not away your confidence. I need to maintain that confidence, and no matter what happens in my life, God is in control of it, and he will walk with me through that. He did it for Job. He'll also do it for us. And you know, Job had some good things that he said. In Job 13 and 15, look at this confidence. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will maintain mine own ways before him. He had another good one that he said in Job 23, 23rd chapter, and in the 8th verse. Remember, there was a time when Job didn't feel God's presence himself. He said, behold, I go forward, he's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. What do we do when we're in adversity and we don't feel his presence with us? I think it's a good time for us to do inventory. Like Psalms 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. I think it's a good time for us to take inventory. But when we see that we have not done anything wrong, then we can be like Job was. He knows the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. You know, there's a place in living for the Lord that I do it just because I know it's the right thing to do. Whether I feel good about it, whether I feel the Lord's presence, he says when he's tried me, I'll come forth as gold. So in other words, the Lord's going to be back again. But you know what? Sometimes adversity lasts a long time. I don't know how long it lasted with Job. I wish I knew how long it was. It doesn't tell us. But what it does tell us is this book is 42 chapters long at least. And Job had some things happen to him kind of like could happen to us. Comes to a place where he would like to have an audience with God. I'd just like to talk to him about what he's allowed into my life and explain some things to me, God. You ever had that feeling? Lord, I'd like for you to tell me why you're allowing this to come. And sometimes God answers it in a different way than we would expect. I'd like for you to look over at Job, because God answered him. Looks like it's almost face to face that he answered him. In Job 38 and 1, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, you know, he's got an audience with God Almighty now. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man. I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Can you imagine God, the creator of the universe, talking to a man that's been made out of dust? And he's telling him, Job, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Job can't even see into tomorrow. And God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? I think something that's very important for us when we're going through adversity has helped me to always understand who God is compared to who I am. He knows everything. He's in control of everything. He's allowing some things into my life, because throughout this, these next chapters, almost to the end of it, God is telling Job who God is and what he has created and the greatness of God. To where Job came to a place where he said, I put my hand over my mouth. I don't have anything else to say. I'm realizing how great God is. There are some verses that I think are very important for me when I go into adversity and I don't understand why it happened. 2 Samuel 22 and 31, as for God, his way is perfect. If I would just always have that always in my mind, Lord, I may not understand it, but you have a perfect way. God, you can see into tomorrow. You can see into eternity. So I will always, whether I understand it or not, I will put my hand in the Lord's. Another one is the verse that we hear so often, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things will work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, some of these things, when the devil comes against us, I may not have to understand everything, but I want to have this confidence in God. All things are working together for good. So there is a song, our song number 111, God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. You know, in these past 2 weeks, we could have this happen to us. Like to try to figure out, why did all these things happen? Or maybe just in things that are happening now in our life. Like for God to explain to me, why are you doing things the way you're doing them? Instead, I remember a message preached in the past where it said just a simple little phrase, God is better reverenced than questioned. That I have a reverence for God, that He created everything. He is in control of everything. He can see my tomorrows. When I tell Him, Lord, I want you to take me to heaven, I would like for it to be with no problems, and I end up in heaven. But you know what? I find those times whenever I run into adversity that I'll start asking the Lord, is there anything that you are trying to show me in these things? Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into His hand. God's way is best. I will not murmur, although the end I may not see. Wherever He leads, I'm going to meekly follow. God's way is best. Is best for me. You know, I love good times. In the Bible, we read about some good times. In the 6th chapter of John, how would you like to have been living at a time where you're at a camp meeting, you're hungry and there's no food, and Jesus happens to be there, and He supplies with just very little. He supplies food for everybody, and there's food left over. You know, naturally, that's some high times. That's some good times in life. But I look at John 6 and 15. It was so good a time that it says in the 14th verse, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, the prophet that should come into the world. 15th verse, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would take Him by force and make Him a king, He departed into a mountain Himself alone. So it was such a high time that they're saying we would like for Him to be our leader. Why is it? Good things are coming into my life. But you know, Sister Maxine has preached this verse many, many times. Because whenever we get down to the 66th verse, before this chapter is over, it'll talk about many of His disciples walked away and did not follow Him anymore. And you have to ask a question, why would it be after the first part so many wanted to make Him a king and the last part it has gone so bad that He turns to His disciples and He say, are you also going to go away? Is it possible that everybody is going to leave me because of what I have just taught? So it tells me there's something between the 15th verse and the 66th verse that He taught that upset them. And what was it? Sister Maxine has read this verse many times. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. You know, we can even read that verse today and wonder, what was He trying to say with that? I was thinking of this, a couple things. Except we be a partaker of the sacrifice that He made for us when He died on the cross. That's accepting His blood, His flesh. But it also goes into some other places. If we're not willing to follow in His footsteps, in the suffering that came into His life, we may not be able to have eternal life. Eat His flesh and drink His blood. Become a partaker of what He had gone through. You remember over in Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind, and I think that verse goes right with this one, eating His flesh and drinking His blood. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You remember that mind that He had, He took upon Him the form of a servant, and He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If I want to be a follower of him, and it came to, as they went on down through here, that so many turned and went away, that Jesus asked his disciples, are you also going to go away? And what was their reply? I want to have that same reply. Where would I go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. And that is truly the same for us today. So let's look at a verse. I want to be a partaker with him. So what all does that involve? Over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. That sounds like being a partaker in what he went through. He that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I was reading a commentary about that because that Psalms 139, 23 and 24th verse where it's, I've come to a place where I'm asking God to search me and see if there's anything there. Well, it says, the man who suffers reflects on his way. He's humbled. He fears approaching death. He loathes his past iniquities, and he ceases from them. You know, many times it's adversity that will cause a person to seek the Lord and to have a desire to turn. Arm ourselves likewise. And in 1 Peter 2 and 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we follow in his steps. You know, I find so many places over in the New Testament that it says, be ye therefore followers as dear children. I was thinking of the book that we have read, Hinds Feet on High Places. Little crippled girl, she has a desire to be able to go to the high places, but she's crippled. She's not able to walk. In that story, there's a shepherd comes by. And he tells her, I'll take you to the high places if you want to go. So she met him and they're headed out to go. And then he comes to a place where he says, okay, I'm not going to be just this close to you from here on. I'll be just a call away. You can call me at any time and I'll come to you. But I'm going to have some guides that I'm going to send with you. Now, I would love for them to be joy and something else, happiness or just a pleasant time. What were the two guides that were sent? Sorrow and suffering is the way to be able to go to the high places. And I remember when it said she looked at them and said, oh, no, because they didn't look real happy either. Oh, no, that's not what I had expected. And then they turned to guide her to the high places. She could see the mountain. You know, we just go right here and we're heading up it. And they take her out into the desert. And I remember she called. This is the wrong way. You told, Lord, Shepherd, you told me that we would go to the high places. And we're headed out in the desert. And you remember he came to her and he said, you're going to need to trust me. This is the route to the high places. How does that apply to today? Folks, we can have some adversity come into our life to where we're questioning, God, why are you allowing all these things to happen? And if we could only see that God's way is best, he's really leading me to the high places. He's got some places in my life that he wants to take me to. But first of all, I've got to learn to submit my will to his when it goes totally contrary to what I would like. You know, she finally submitted to that. Okay, I will trust you. I remember it said they went to a place. There's just no water there, but they came to a little village where there was a tank that had water that supplied the village there. And there was a little pipe that went from that over to the huts. And that pipe had a tiny little hole in it that it was dripping water onto the sand of the desert. And it said right where that little wet spot was, there was a beautiful flower that was growing there. You remember what that flower was named? acceptance with joy. You know what? These things are bigger than we are to be able to take adversity in our life and accept them with joy. But I really believe God wants us to be able to walk with Him in that kind of place. That when He's sending pleasant things into my life, and He has done it many years, I'll enjoy those, but I'll also realize sometimes He needs to send adversity into my life. Will I submit those things to Him? They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. That verse says we'll suffer persecutions. But you know what? We're going to have some things to suffer in our life. But I thought about Paul. You know, he was a chosen vessel of the Lord. And it said, I'm going to show him what great things he must suffer for my name. You know, the example of Job, to where he fell down and he worshiped God when adversity came to him. I see the same thing with Paul. And I think Paul has something that would be good for us. Paul had a vision of paradise, of what heaven was going to be. You know, I think he compared the troubles that he was going through. He was able to compare that to heaven. Can we do the same thing? I think it's valuable for us to do the same thing. Though he sends some trouble into my life, I believe God's desire is that I make heaven my home at the end. Let me get a good picture of heaven. It'll take me through these adversities. What does it say over in Romans? This is Paul talking. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 18th verse. You know, with all the things that he went through, this is how he responded to it. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then we go on down in that same chapter, down at the 35th verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, it says who, but I believe it can also say what kind of trouble, what kind of adversity to come into my life that I would say I quit. You know, Paul had a list of things, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned. And he took all that and he said in the 18th verse, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. I believe he always kept before his eyes a view of heaven, if I'll be faithful to the end. So in these verses, starting in the 35th, who will separate us? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. And it goes on down, I am persuaded in the 38th verse. And he relists all of those things that could happen to him. I am persuaded that none of this will separate us. I am glad for that. You remember Jesus came to a point where he asked his disciples, will you also go away when they saw what was going to be required of them? You know, I believe he asks us the same thing when adversity comes to us. How will I respond to it? Will I accept it into my life and say, you know what? I know I'm headed to the high places. It might be that I have to travel through the desert for a little bit. But you know, also at any time in that desert experience, she was able to make one call and he would be right there by her side. Now, how does that relate to Job when he said, I looked on my left, on my right, and I didn't see him? I believe there's some times where the Lord wants to see how faithful we will be. Lord, I don't feel you right here, but I know this is the right way. I have already taken inventory, asked you to search my life, and there's nothing there that I know of that I need, that you're trying to show me to clear. So you know the way that I take. When you've tried me, I'll come forth as gold. There's a verse in Revelations that says 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. That means today, tomorrow, every day out in the future, let me be faithful unto death and I'll receive a crown of life. What was Paul's testimony right at the end? You know, he now knows he's going to die here in just a little bit. Did he go back with a chapter of saying how God had not stood by him? Look at this one over in 2 Timothy the fourth chapter, he realizes it's almost the end now. He says in the sixth verse, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. What that tells me is it's available for me today. It's available for each one of us, whatever adversity comes to us out in the future. God can help me to come to the same place that Paul did at the end of his. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. And there is a crown of righteousness. May we each one make heaven our home. The devil is going to come to us when adversity comes, and I am sure he came to that man that wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. He had days before he met up with his wife again to have thoughts of how God had dealt in his life. And he was able to say, it's well with my soul. I still trust Jesus. That means there's been some adversity in the past, but I still have this confidence. I'm going to trust Jesus. I would like, Damon, if you could pull up this song. It's, the title is, I Can Trust Jesus. It's one of the verses says, I have prayed some prayers and I felt they never were heard. What do you do then? That song says, but I held to God's hand and I kept right on trusting in his word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on his will, for he always knows what is best for me. That song number 111 is a confirmation of this song. Because 111, God's way is best, heart cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit yourself into his hand. And then that song number 111 ends with a verse, thy way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control, thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. Maybe we could, in closing, sing that song. I can trust Jesus.